Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever been blindfolded? Did you ever play a game where one person is blindfolded and a friend is there to guide the other, especially around a camp or playing a game? What that game teaches you is to trust the one guiding you. Without that buddy, you would be helpless. You could trip, you could run, you could fall over something. There are many dangers that could occur for you. Perhaps the next time some of you seminarians might be blindfolded will occur when you throw your dart in the commons before vicarage night or call service, blindfolded and not knowing where you will go. When you're blindfolded, you get a brief glimpse of what it is like to be blind. You can't see, and darkness surrounds you, so you must move cautiously. Relief only comes when the blindfold is removed and you can see again. To be relieved to see would be an understatement for the man in today's reading from St. John's Gospel. Instead of being blindfolded, this man was blind from birth. He never saw a bit of daylight. Yet daylight came to him that day when the light of the world, Jesus Christ, performed a marvelous miracle. After Jesus made a little mud with his spit and dirt, he anointed the man's eyes and told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And after he left that pool, he saw the world around him, he saw light and everything. However, besides receiving the gift of physical sight, a greater miracle took place in chapter 9 of John's Gospel. This man who was healed of physical blindness from birth was also healed of spiritual blindness. Far greater than seeing physical light that day, he received spiritual light and sight. Jesus moved this man out of unbelief, sin, and death into faith, forgiveness, and life. Jesus performed two miracles on this man. In the unfolding of this miracle story, which takes up all of chapter 9, several people respond to Jesus' miracle. But the ones most bothered by what Jesus did were the Pharisees. And although they had no physical sight problems, they later asked Jesus one pivotal question. Are we blind too? This question is so relevant that we too must ask the same thing. Are we blind too? Most of us here, I would say, are probably not sight restricted in a great way or physically blind. But that does not mean there is no blindness in us. The disciples revealed their blindness to Jesus when they saw this man as they were going into the city of Jerusalem. This man was probably near the gates of the temple, since beggars used to gather there. The disciples then asked Jesus if he sinned or his parents had sinned to cause this problem. But Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. The blindness revealed here is the ignorance of the disciples. God does not cause blindness in people because of a certain sin, either by them or their parents. But instead, since sin exists in us and in our fallen world, we live with its effects each day. Yet even in the midst of this blindness of the disciples, Jesus reveals light. Jesus displayed the work of God by healing this man, bringing him light. And in turn, not only gave light to the blind man, but light to the disciples as well. Far greater than being healed of physical blindness is being healed of spiritual blindness. But it wasn't only the disciples and the Pharisees who were blind. This blind man was spiritually blind. And he was moved in his faith, and he grew in his faith. When he was first asked about the miracle, and when he was pressed by others, he told the others that Jesus was a man. But his confession grew as they questioned him. In fact, the Pharisees interrogated this man. And then his confession grew to state that Jesus was not only a man, but a prophet. And later, a man from God. Then finally, after being excommunicated and thrown out of the temple for his bold convictions, Jesus found this man a second time to fully open his eyes. The man from God, the prophet, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the light of the world himself spoke to this man. And then he confessed, "Lord, I believe," and fell face down on the ground and worshiped Jesus. Both the miracles of physical and spiritual sight came from Jesus, the light of the world. While the Pharisees were not physically blind, they were spiritually blind. They refused to follow Jesus. And their blindness stands out the most in our text. Because they were proud of their ancestry with Moses and Abraham. But they were so blind that they couldn't see beyond their navel. And that's what blinded them. Their blindness was caused by nearsightedness. Being so focused on the law, they failed to see the promise which Moses and Abraham longed for. The Messiah and the light of the world. Like the disciples, they too were ignorant, but did not claim to be. Thus, they had no balance in their vision. Being so nearsighted, they were blinded from Jesus even when he stood right in front of them. Locked in the darkness of the law, they failed to see the light of the gospel. Today, each of us truly thanks God for physical sight, light, and vision, and the ability to look around and to see the wonders of creation. However, even though we might physically see, we do not always spiritually see. And like the disciples, and like the blind man, and like the Pharisees, our blindness may be due to our ignorance, our lack of knowledge, or our lack of faith. Nearsightedness occurs in us due to our lack of knowledge and ignorance. And when it's undetected in us, it leads us to rely more on ourselves rather than on God and the truth of Scripture. If one relies on himself, he is quickly defensive, like the Pharisees were, and nervous and insecure. Jesus made them nervous. One of the things seminary forces all of us to do is to wrestle with the Word of God. And it's not only important to know the promises of God, but to believe them as well. If you think today, as a seminarian or as a pastor, that you know everything there is to know to do ministry, then you're wasting your time here at the seminary. That's nearsighted blindness. And do you trust all of those promises of God that He gives you in His Word? Do you trust them each day? Maybe before you came here, it seemed quite easy to trust God in many ways, and it was so easy to take some things for granted. But now it seems that God is asking me more to trust Him each day, even when days are the bleakest. That's part of the refining of seminary life. Seminary life refines you, humbles you, but for a purpose, to make you God's humble servant. Dr. Geeshan on Monday quite beautifully stated on St. James the Elder Day that a pastor leads as Christ does, by serving, suffering, and sacrifice. The church today does not need the blind leading the blind. The church does not need Pharisaical know-it-all pastors who dictate from the top down, like CEOs in a corporation. Instead, the church calls men who love the Word, are always learning the Word, and who desire to share Christ's Word and sacraments with God's people, and to open the eyes of the blind. The church needs men who are compelled to bring the light of Christ into every dark crevice and blind spot in the lives of people. If you do not know everything you need to know, that's fine, because none of us does. We're always growing along the way, just as the disciples. But by confessing that you're blind, you can rejoice in Christ, because the light of the world will open your eyes to see more of Him than you ever saw before. That's why Jesus said at the end of this account, "I have come into this world to judge people, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see become blind." The Pharisees didn't see the Messiah in front of them because they were blind. Who do you see in front of you? Who is leading you? Where is your life going a year from now, 2 years from now, or 4 years? You do not know. You do not know all the specifics, but you do know who stands in front of you, Christ. And you do know why you are here, to be strengthened as a pastor, or to prepare to be a pastor, to receive light in order to give light and sight to the blind by reflecting the light of Christ. And just as you are led daily back to Jesus Christ, to His wounds and to His cross, and His light shed through word and sacrament in this chapel or in the classroom, so you will lead others, and you will reflect that light to others. As yesterday's gospel stated, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are all blind, like the disciples, like the blind man, like the Pharisees. We're nearsighted. And like David, we confess, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Going all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, we do not always see or think clearly. Yet our God is greater than we are. Instead of being nearsighted, God was farsighted. From the foundation of the world, the Father looked way ahead of Adam and Eve, Abraham and Moses and David, to the time in which He would send us His Son, Jesus Christ. true God and true man to save all mankind from its blindness. God sent the light, Jesus, into this world of darkness to bring us life, light, and sight. And he did that with his outstretched arms on the cross. In him we truly see God. God sees and God finds. God sees you. God anoints you and finds you, just as he did the blind man. He speaks his word of forgiveness. He touches you with the sacraments. Although your eyes have not been anointed with mud, your eyes have seen the bread of life given in bread and wine at this altar. His body and blood has passed your lips. And although your body has not been washed in the pool of Siloam, your body has been washed in the watery pools of holy baptism. And although Jesus does not promise to use mud today to open blind eyes, he still uses holy means, his holy word, water, bread, and wine. By God's grace and blessing, you men will be tools to share the light of Christ in his stead. Through his holy word, holy baptism, and holy communion, Christ uses you to open the eyes of the blind. And for this we praise him, because it is in this that the work of God is revealed and displayed. You will speak in Christ's place. You will place Christ's body and blood in people's mouths. You will ask them to wash in the waters of baptism, and you will find them when they are lost. And who will they see? Jesus Christ, who unfolds all the blindfolds of sin, all the blindfolds of darkness, so that they may see him and have life and light forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.